How fun is this? How fun is this? Liz Linehan right here. State representative from Cheshire, but she's right here in the studio.
Yes, this is fun.
You know, it's totally different to see you.
Why? What did you expect?
I don't know. Well, it's not. Well, it is what you expect. When you hear a voice and you never see a person, you gain a sense of the physicality of the person.
Okay. And
well,
am
you
I
talk about your weightlifting. So yeah. I was picturing like big
a
biceps
big
bursting through your jacket. That
suns
you have
out,
on?
Guns out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can do suns out, guns out, but I won't.
No, I thought that was going to be your whole aura. I thought you were going to be like a jockey kind of tomboyish person.
I am, though.
But
I
you
think.
Don't physically, you don't present that way.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, it's just
but
different from what I expected.
If you have something you want me to lift, I'm happy to do that.
Well, Mike and I were talking about this, actually. I said, maybe we could do like a contest. And he said, well, she could lift way more than me. I said, Mike, I was thinking I'd take one end of the bar and you take the other end. If we could lift it and she couldn't, we'd win.
Wait, you want you two on one end of the bar and
me
on the other?
No, us against you in a contest, but the two of us get to lift the same thing that you
oh,
lift.
Oh, deal. I'll take it.
Right, we would lose, right?
Yeah, you would.
How much do you press?
So I bench press about 150 right now, which is more than I weigh. So technically speaking, it's a large amount for a woman. I deadlift easily over 300. Right now I'm doing 303.75 on the regular for reps.
What's that mean?
303.75 pounds. So it's because of kilograms to pounds or whatever. I think it turns out to be 303.75.
So what do you do with this 303?
I deadlift. Now that's my number one lift. Wait, is the deadlift.
So that's easier deadlifting than
I don't know
bench
why it's,
pressing?
It's way easier, but it's easier for me. I don't know if it's easier for everyone.
Oh, we're in our 4 o'clock format, which means we've got to get to a traffic update. Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center will continue with Liz Linehan. But right now, Friday afternoon commute, what's going on, Mike? WTIC, Liz Linehan is here. If you want to ask her something or talk to her, you can. 860-522-9842. And we were talking about your weightlifting thing. Mm-hmm. How did you get into this being a female power lifter?
Interesting story is my mother had a stroke. And my father would call in the middle of the night saying, Mom slipped out of her chair or she fell out of the bed and he couldn't lift her. So they would call my husband in the middle of the night and he would go over and he would pick her up. And this was happening a lot, unfortunately. And I felt bad that it was always my husband that was going. So I said, you know what? I'm going to learn to do this. And so I met a power lifter at the gym. He taught me how to deadlift. Turns out I'm pretty good at it. So eventually my father called middle of the night, come pick up Mom. And I said, you know what? Brian's not going to do it, Dad. I'm going to do it. And he thought, oh, okay. But by the way, my mother was like 100 pounds soaking wet. But so I went over to their condo and I went in and I went to go grab her. And I shoved my hands under like a forklift.
Yep.
And I went to go deadlift and pick her up. And she was so light that she literally caught air as I went to go lift her. And I thought, I guess I'm pretty good at this. So I started then doing it competitively. And I've held 3 state records and I've won every competition.
Imagine that. Yeah. Some people would have created Linehan Home Services and you would have hired yourself out to do this for other people. But you decided to go in the strengthening direction.
It's fun. I love it. It's so much fun.
Isn't it unusual how... you just don't know what things you're going to connect with in life.
Yeah, I feel the same way about politics. I felt the same way about the music business, about being in radio. I mean, I tend to stumble upon things and find out that I truly love it. I think when, just like a lot of people, when you're growing up and you have this idea of what you're going to be in your life, life changes that for you.
Yeah, but this is one of the great things, I think, about our era. There's a lot of fear right now because there you don't get a job and stay in it for 30 years
I
used to. Yeah, and it's so cool. You get to reinvent yourself on a regular basis. Not even, I think the future is a permanent reinvention, that you're always migrating and finding out what other things you can add to your repertoire, and that's a great thing. That's a real empowering thing.
It really is, and I try to impress upon the kids that I talk to that is a real, you don't have to have a plan set in stone, because if you have a plan set in stone and you have to veer off course, that's terrifying.
Yes, but there are different personality types, right? Some people want to feel that it's all going to be exactly the way they want it to be, and they can't deal with the momentary changes that pop up.
And for those people, you plan to accept changes. Right? I mean, you have to chug along thinking this could all end.
Yes,
and what could I do next?
But for those people, that's fear inspiring, anxiety inducing. Oh, they don't like it.
You know,
one of those people?
I am.
You're a type A? Is that what that is?
Very type A.
So you want everything to be exactly. That's why you want to have strong arms, so you can push everything in the shape you want it to be.
That's exactly right, you know, physically and metaphorically.
Like, get back in that chair right now.
But, you know, I was, today I was bagging hunger, which I went to a local grocery store and was doing all the bagging. And I figured out what kind of type A personality I am, that everything had to be straight and perfect and square. And and I thought, oh, geez.
Boy, they wouldn't employ you in a grocery store.
I think I was slower than I should have been because I needed it to be perfect. I need to learn to let go.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that's all about, that compulsiveness? It's a common trait.
I don't know. Do I have to pay you by the hour for this conversation?
You do roll with the punches, which is contradictory. Like, you're very, you know, you came on here and you just dove in and you started doing weekly segments with us and you did a great job.
Thank you. I think that comes from confidence.
You've learned to trust that it's going to work out.
And if it doesn't, what's the worst that can happen? Right? I mean,
just a total career crash and a nervous breakdown and the kids run away.
Are your ratings that good? No. You know, if I lose my seat, at least I know that I've always done what I think is the best thing and what I think is right. So as long as you wake up every day and do the best that you can with what you've got at all times, I think life is going to be okay.
That's a good philosophy, even though you feel the need to make sure the bag is packed perfectly.
I'm telling you, it had to be like perfectly square.
Interesting. All right. If you want to help with the therapy session for Liz Linehan, give us a call, 860-522-9842. She's a Democrat from Cheshire. 860-522-9842. Liz Linehan is here. All right. So there is stuff going on in politics. We might as well get into it.
We might as well.
Grocery tax, for or against?
Oh, against.
How come?
Well, first of all, there isn't a grocery tax.
There is.
There is not a grocery tax. There is a prepared food tax. And this is what's killing me, is that everyone says, oh, there's a grocery tax. There's a grocery tax. Democrats want to tax everything in the grocery store. It's just not true. We need to stop playing politics. This should not be a partisan issue. The fact of the matter is that the Department of Revenue Services misinterpreted the language. They went ahead and did their own policy advisory and said that we now have opened it up to a million little singular muffins. Mm-hmm. And they came back out and agreed that they were wrong.
Well, they said what they were told to say. I mean,
I don't care who told them to say it. The fact is that they were wrong.
No, I mean, when they say they were wrong. But why were they wrong?
Because that's not
their job is to interpret the language. If the language isn't written particularly well, so the nature of laws being passed is sort of you know, haphazard at best, right? You guys are
no. It's not haphazard. Here's the thing: when you write a law or legislation, because it doesn't become law until after we vote on it, right? You write legislation, and then you have the Office of Fiscal Analysis and the Office of Legislative Research, and they write up little summaries about what it is so that everybody understands the legislative intent. The OFA and OLR, they both wrote it up in such a way that showed the original legislative intent, which is that we were not looking to, and I say we, I didn't write this law, but that it was not opened up to taxing more foods. It was not looking to tax an individual muffin because that was the what they said a meal was. It was just taking prepared foods that are sold in supermarkets, but really are like takeout foods. So if I buy a bucket of wings, which by the way, if my son is listening, I will come home with that bucket of wings because he loves that from Stop and Shop, right? So, but if I buy the bucket of wings from Stop and Shop, it's not taxed. But if I buy the bucket of wings from Buffalo Wild Wings, it is taxed. It just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So the thought was is to make sure that those that there's parity there.
Yes, fairness.
Fairness. And I, you know, do I want to tax more? God, no. Do I wish we didn't do it? Absolutely. I wish that when the budget was written, and I wish that now. But governing is making decisions. And so when I was faced with the decision to vote for a budget that had most of the other things that I was looking for, I knew full well that I was able to stop the governor from putting in some legislation that would cost my residents a ton of money. In Cheshire, it would be over $800,000 a year, same in Southington. And
I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
The teacher's pension, rolling the teacher's pension onto towns additionally. There was also phasing in of the new ECS formulas and amounts quicker than it is supposed to, than originally passed. So that would have cost our towns even more money. And so I looked at this and said, it would cost my constituents a ton more money if those things were in the budget the way the governor had originally wanted it to be, than if we had this additional tax on prepared foods that would cost someone literally $9 a year. So that was my concern. I had to weigh it. And I have promised my constituents over and over again that I will do my best to limit property tax hikes because that's a very regressive tax and it hurts the middle class.
Okay, so you were victimized then by your party putting this thing in there.
Look at you coming up with words.
The other part, well, that's what you just described.
You said I either agree or I didn't, or I disagree. You said you weren't a victim.
No, but you are because you wouldn't have wanted this. You're saying, but it was a trade-off in a pile of legislation that was in the form of a budget that you didn't have control over. So you had to kind of swim your way through and find the best path for your voters.
And what you said is absolutely true, but I would never characterize that as a victimization. It's about governing and deciding.
But that sounds like a lousy way. The other thing I don't get about that explanation is it bothers me that people get elected to represent an area, and then they go off to the Capitol and create agencies and then defer decisions to agencies. This is what agencies do. They get handed paperwork and their job is to interpret it and make it into policy. And the excuse that's being made by the governor and now you by extension is that we had no choice in this. That those awful people in the Department of Revenue Services did that.
And they really did.
Yes, but who created them? How did they get there? Where did they get this power from? Why don't you guys make the law? And why don't you guys decide whether five hamburgers or five donuts or five muffins are going to be? And by the way,
no one should eat five hamburgers. I'm just going to point that out.
Well, exactly. So why would you tax them?
Could be one meal.
So why would you tax them as if they are?
So, you know, I actually agree with you, and I wish that was the case.
This is just runaway big government. So shut down runaway big government. Let's get rid of it.
Okay, so make a list.
Shut down these
departments.
Take
your pen and take. You want me to completely shut down DRS? Yeah,
well, because make them a subsidiary of you guys. You make the decisions.
What they do is way more than interpreting legislation.
What else do they do?
Well, they also work with businesses to remit their taxes and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what they don't do.
What's that?
Oh, I shouldn't say this. I'm on the radio.
Well, it's too late now. You just started down that path.
I've tried to work with them for a couple of my constituents.
I've been trying to solve those problems. And you get lost in the bureaucracy, too.
So I'm not immune.
No, I just feel like you guys should be the decision makers, because that's what a democratic system is supposed to be. You're the elected person. I mean, really, this is what's gone on in Washington and gone wrong with Washington, is just this enormous, morbidly obese bureaucracy that nobody controls. You know, one of the ironies of the Trump frenzy that you leftists are in over the world is ending because Trump became president. Trump, the world is moving along. Like, despite all the frenzy about Trump, it's moving along.
I listened to you on the drive in, and I heard everything you said. But the guy also really enjoys creating the frenzy.
Yes, but that's because he's got all these people prepared. It's like you know, you go to one of those soccer games in Europe and they've got all the horns. You may like the horns, but you can't control those things. Those things are going. The media is chasing Trump full time, making their living off of being Trump hating, and they get fed their stuff by the Democrats. And there's this loop going on.
Well, I don't know if that's it makes it sound like the media are Democratic pawns, and I just don't,
no, just
I
partners.
Don't agree with that. I wouldn't even say that. However, I will say this. I think in the field of Democratic candidates, you're going to see that the one that rises to the top is the one that can get past the Trump stuff. I think that, you know, if we have Pete Buttigieg, who is saying, okay, enough with Trump, we need to talk policy. And I hope that others will follow
suit. Are you going to endorse Buttigieg before you go?
I endorse no one ever.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
Coming up, we'll get an endorsement from Liz Linehan on WTIC. But first, Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. Mike, it's busy out there, huh? She doesn't know what song this is. How would she know? Is this one of your bands?
It's Pantera.
It's Pantera, your favorite band.
So Philip Anselmo is the lead singer of Pantera.
Yeah.
And he, if you just heard his vocals, he sounds really mean. And he is the nicest, sweetest man you will ever talk to.
Just goes to show that performers, you never know what they're really like.
And you know who's really mean?
Who is?
Bono.
Well, I'm not surprised.
To the little guy.
I would think so, because he's a big leftist. You know?
Sorry. So that was like, I really guffawed on that. So the fact that he's a leftist makes him, you know.
Well, just that sort of
on
the pose on you care about everybody, but don't make me talk to them. Right. And don't let them come too close.
That's so funny.
860-522-9842. Larry Bridgeport, you're on WTIC with Liz Linehan.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, I just wanted to mention something. You know, I've lived in Connecticut my whole life, and even though I'm a registered Democrat, and this is not directed at you, but it's directed at the Democrats, I've been so disappointed in terms of spending. You know, I work two jobs to make ends meet, and it's not easy. And the spending that goes on up in Hartford is just out of control, and it's almost like an addiction. I never see the parties, especially the Democrats who are in power, actually cut spending. It's just another tax on top of another tax on top of another tax. And it's just hard for people like me, a lot of other people who are worse off than me, trying to make ends meet. And I just hope people like Martin Looney and Joe Arasimowitz understand that whether it's the tolls or the food tax, It's not easy in the state to make ends meet, especially when you have a parent who's in a nursing home and you're trying to make ends meet.
All right, close this thought so she'll have time to react.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, you know, I can't completely disagree with you. Being from Cheshire, Southington, and Wallingford, I have a lot of people who are Republicans that vote for me because I don't necessarily disagree with you. And, you know, we're really we have to stop being so divisive, and we have to remember that we're all kind of in the same boat. I don't know if Larry had heard my response as to why I was not supporting the tolls proposal, but it's because I literally said we have grilled cheese weeks at home. If there's something big happening where we have a big bill, then my kids and I are literally eating grilled cheese for a week because that's all we can afford.
Yes, but the whole state is in a condition of grilled cheese, and there is, and the government only wants bigger taxes. Constantly, how do we burden this economy more with taxes and regulation?
In 2017, $15
minimum wage is oppressive to the restaurant businesses, along with a bunch of other businesses. Paid family medical leave is another burden on an economy that's underperforming the region and comparable states around the country. There's no excuse for the failure of the state to perform, for people wanting to get out so desperately and businesses leaving. It's a great place. It should be bustling.
So in 2017, I put forth legislation to phase out the income tax on Social Security and pensions and investments. And that went through, that passed as part of the budget. And this year, I want to say they, but you know, I mean, the governor wanted to roll that back. And I absolutely demanded that we keep that going. And so we were successful in that. I wasn't the only one. So I want to just caution you that there are some of us out there who really are standing up for everyone who's eating grilled cheeses. I mean, you know, we're in the same boat.
I guess
boat.
The governor doesn't eat grilled cheese. Unless it's a really elegant imported cheese.
He's a very nice man, and he's doing a great job of listening.
Yes,
and I appreciate
wonderful.
That he's listened.
He's listened to the cheese sizzling on all those griddles. Are you going to stay or are you leaving?
I don't know.
All right, Liz Lanahan might be here a little while longer. We'll see. All right, we convinced her to stay. Liz Linehan, did you have something you wanted to say?
I don't. Okay. I'm going with what you
want.
Because
we've got more calls, so we want to talk to you. Let's go to Stanley in Newington. Hello, Stanley.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon to you, and I guess you mean Liz as part of the everyone there.
Yes.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Sorry, I apologize. But Liz made the comment about legislation regarding the tax burden on Social Security recipients, okay? But you didn't talk about where are you going to shift the burden, number one. Why is it you throw out these, these pieces of pie, but you don't say how you're going to pay for it and what's going to happen? Why isn't cost reduction part of the scenario and in the mindset of the Democratic Party?
Well, I don't believe that anything in the budget should necessarily be a tit for tat, right? So we can enact policy that helps a lot of people. In this case, eliminating the income tax on Social Security and pensions and annuities. And then as we move forward, we can take a piece from here, take a piece from there, take a piece from here, and reduce spending in that way in order to pay for it. But I'm not going to say, hey, we're going to stop this program. What's that?
We're always moving forward, but we still have the same burden, the bottom line.
Yes, but maybe what Liz is saying is that it just doesn't work that way, that you could never, is this your point that you could never get anything passed if you had to go find what the other side of the scale was going to be?
Yeah, it's not even about getting it passed, is that it just literally doesn't work. I mean, if you think about it, let's say you budget your entire paycheck down to the penny, and then something happens, your car breaks down, and you have an extra $500 bill that you didn't plan for.
Then you say, we're not going out to eat for the next month.
We're not going out to eat for the next month. We're also going to maybe buy less food at the grocery store. We're going to not go to this wedding that we were supposed to go. It's not going to be, I'm going to pay for that entire thing by not going out to eat. It might be you reduce your payments.
It might be, but government's a lot bigger, and
It's just not a tit for tat. It's just not a tit for tat.
Okay.
You know,
it's not a tit for tat.
Now, I'll also say that there is also, it's not always about cutting line items. That's really important too, because sometimes if you completely cut a line item, you pay for it more on another end. Mm-hmm. And additionally, sometimes it's also about just leveraging money from other places that aren't coming directly from Connecticut taxpayers. For instance, just by simply changing a small policy in the Department of Children and Families, I was able to leverage more grant money from the federal government to the tune of $50 million per biennium. Mm-hmm. So that's going to reduce the line item for DCF. And so we're paying less from the general fund in order to fund that department instead of having that money going to other states.
All right, let's get John in Newtown in on the conversation. John, make your statement, ask your question quickly, whatever it is you want to do.
Okay, going back to the bucket of chicken. One place was charging tax, one wasn't. And so you're going to raise it 1% at the place it was charging it, but you said it costs the constituents $9 more a year. Well, if you removed the 6% to make it equal in both places, you would have saved them $50-something.
Yeah, so I think what John is offering up is the fairness argument,
okay,
right? The fairness argument only goes in one direction.
Fairness to the
restaurants.
The
reason we have to raise taxes more than you would have liked is to be fair. You know, it's not fair having no taxes at the barbershop and yes, taxing the nail salon. Therefore, we have to institute taxes at theirs. Well, that's only one direction. It's always more taxes.
I agree with that.
Which leads us to believe that the only goal is more taxes, not fairness. Fairness is the cover story.
I could see that. And let me make this very clear that that was not my legislation. So I'm not the one making
that
fairness argument.
You're responsible for everything Democrats
right,
do.
But I'm not making... am I? I'm not making that argument. I mean, I would much rather not do that. So I'm with you. I'm always looking at creative ways that we can reduce spending or that we can be more attractive to businesses. And I think that I have a track record that shows that. And I'm just going to keep on trying to do that.
You're just going to what?
Keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep
that's
on,
the way
keep
we
it
say
on.
That.
Whatever.
You've been out of the music business too long.
I know. Yes, that's true.
All right. You've got 15 seconds if you have a closing thought.
I actually really enjoy being here, and I think it's important.
It's fun.
And I like fun hearing from you.
Can you get some more Democrats to come on? Can you find us some talent?
I don't know. My Facebook status is that I was throwing myself to the wolves. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll try. I'll test it out.
All right. You want to do a little radio?
I would love to.
All right. So Mike's going to hit the sounder for traffic, and then you go... Let's go to Mike Allen in the traffic center for an update. Go ahead, Mike. You ready?
Let's go to Mike Allen in the traffic center. Go ahead, Mike.
That wasn't bad. Is that all right, Mike?
Did I yuck it up?
I love it. I love it. Todd, you're fired.